The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. I'm just going to kind of jump in today because this case has been sitting on my computer desktop for literally weeks. I've kind of known I was going to do it. I wrote it up a couple of weeks ago too, and then it's been so long since I did that I had to, like, go back and reread and make sure that I wasn't missing any of the fine details. It's just one of the ones that I stumbled across on the Charlie Project, and it immediately just, I don't know, it took my interest. I normally wouldn't do two Johns back-to-back because the last case I did was John. But nevertheless, here we are. It is totally like me. I picked a 1990s case, so none of you are surprised. That's all. I'm just going to jump in. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm totally ready.
Okay, so the case I'm going to talk to you about today is the case of John Cheek, and simple and difficult at the same time in that there were only two sources, the Charlie Project, and this aired on the original Unsolved Mysteries. So I went back and forth between the two. There are other, I guess you could say, sources out of it, but it's literally like copy and pasted from either the Charlie Project or Unsolved Mysteries. So I really could only fairly say like two main sources to this case. Anyway, John was born on August 3rd of 1965. He resided in Memphis, Tennessee. Not much is said about his childhood, but it appears he had a good relationship with his parents, Arena and Richard. I might be saying her name wrong. I apologize. I've only seen it in print. There are no reports of any siblings, although I'm not saying that there isn't. There just hasn't been any interviews from siblings or any mention of them in what I've read and watched. John was likely an excellent student, and I'll tell you why when I talk about all of his accomplishments, but also he seems to be from a successful family. His dad is a doctor, so I imagine he's really hardworking and really pushed for work and, you know, like just working hard in the educational arena. John attended Southern Memphis University in Dallas, Texas. I know that sounds kind of confusing, but he did go to Texas. And after earning his bachelor's degree, he went right on to working on his MBA, and he did this at the University of Chicago. So this guy is not afraid to go where he needs to get what he wants accomplished. And there's no indication that he took any break. He just kind of knew exactly what he wanted to do and jumped right in. Right after earning his MBA and his bachelor's degree back to back, he quickly rose to the level of CFO, which is the chief financial officer of the Cates Company. And this is back in Memphis. It actually sounded more like, according to the Charlie Project, that he got his MBA and immediately got this job. He didn't have to climb any ladder, although I can't be 100% sure about that. It just seems like nowadays, you know, in 2022, you don't often get a degree and jump right into a powerful role, a really high up role.
Right. A C-suite is something you typically work your way up to.
Absolutely. That's the only thing that I'm like questioning. However, who knows? Back in the 90s, there was less of a hiring pool and people with these qualifications. So he very well could have just fit the bill. And who knows? He could have had excellent internships.
Sounds like I got my MBA 20 years too late.
Seriously, right? But based also on his age, because he was actually able to achieve all this by about the age of 26, it's very likely that he, you know, finished his degree at 21-ish and took the next 2 to 3 years, 22, 23, 24, finishing up that degree. So anyway, I don't know that it really matters. All in all, it tells us that he was driven, and when he wanted something, he was going to get it, and he achieved it. So the Cates Company sounds like it was a newer company. I tried to Google the Cates Company, and I wasn't getting a Wikipedia. I have some indication that maybe it's already run its course and sold or dissolved or whatever. There wasn't any clear-cut answer to me, but the reason I say it was relatively new is because this is this real estate firm who's really looking at trying to get investors to kind of get into the field. So that's, yes, an assumption on my part, but based on what I'm about to tell you, I think it's kind of a fair one to make. So John's role in this company really, as soon as he started working, was he was trying to gain investors so that they could take this real estate firm public. John worked tirelessly. For almost a year, he worked 18-hour days. He traveled globally and throughout the country meeting with investors. If all went well, like if he got all of these investors in to back the company, John would have been making six figures with stock options by the time he was 28 years old. So that's a pretty big deal. I mean, at 28 years old, I was still scraping pennies together. At the time of John's disappearance, the firm was close to going public, and John purchased a new home in the Memphis area. John was obviously hardworking. Rather predictable, I guess you could say, and reliable. Also, right before John's disappearance, he was investigated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. This was stressful to him. It actually held up some deals, which added even more stress.
Do we know what he was investigated for?
Well, not explicitly, but at the end of the day, he was found to have done nothing wrong. He was completely clear of anything. I actually, when reading this, thought it might be kind of par for the course when you're trying to run around to investors trying to get money for, to me, it almost sounds like trying to get money for startup. But I'm not completely sure. But, you know, like this caused him a lot of stress. He was unable to sleep. This held up deals. I just can't imagine the amount of stress and the amount that was riding on something like that, just making sure that he's found clear and can move on and get these deals closed. On December 2nd of 1993, John went to dinner with friends or associates. He also drank, but according to reports, he was safely dropped off to his car, which was near the restaurant at approximately 11 p.m., This would be the last confirmed sighting, for sure, of John. The next day, John did not show up for work. According to Unsolved Mysteries and an interview with a coworker, at first they were just kind of like, wow, he's been working really hard, maybe he overslept or something like that. But because John was so reliable, hardworking, predictable even, it quickly became like a, ooh, this doesn't feel good. I think this is not oversleeping. Now we're a little bit worried. They grew concerned. Obviously, this is out of character. Pretty quickly, John's parents were concerned and a police report was filed. Then the next day, you know, so the police report was filed and they did take it seriously, it seems. They looked for him and they looked for his car, because his car was not at home. And the next day, John's car was found parked by a bridge. Now, almost like it was about to cross over the bridge, but, you know, you pull over, get out of the car, whatever. This is a bridge that was crossing the Mississippi River. This made police immediately wonder if John had taken his own life. Why else would his car be at this particular place? He had no business or reason that anyone could think of to be this part of town, going over a bridge at this time of night. So, you know, that's what police thought. But his friends and family doubted this because there had been no indication to them. But also they found it slightly suspicious that things at John's house, you know, didn't indicate anything either. Although it may not have been uncommon that John never unpacked from his trip away or the most recent trip away, his parents thought it was a little bit strange that he had left his garage door open, which was uncharacteristic of him. He would always close his garage door. On the other hand, he had just bought this house, so I'm not really sure how we could say that's characteristic in this setting, but nevertheless, that was their response. Other than this, there was no indication of a struggle or that he left or that anything had happened. I mean, quite frankly, I guess we don't know if he ever even came home after that dinner. Several months later, so that really means that nothing came of anything during those several months, a truck driver came forward after seeing a missing persons poster at one of his typical stops. And when he saw this missing persons poster, he was like, oh my gosh, I know this guy. I saw this guy. I had breakfast with him one day. He stated that, you know, along one of his truck driving routes, he was stopped and he approached a sleeping man at a bus stop. And what stood out to him was that he was wearing kind of decent loafers. And he was wearing a fairly pristine white button-up shirt with a tie. That, amongst this gentleman, was well-spoken and seemingly educated. That's kind of what made him memorable. The truck driver stated that when he saw him, he bought him lunch. They talked a little bit. There was no name. There was no history. No exchange like that. He did get the impression that there was something maybe off with mental health or that there might have been disability or something like that. But that was pretty much it before they parted ways. Now, there have been other sightings of John in the southern United States throughout the years. But this is one of the most, I guess, thought to be credible sightings of him ever. And what leads that to be credible, or what police call credible, is that when described to John's parents, this truck driver's memory of what happened, what stood out to them was, A, the white shirt and the tie, because that's literally what John wore every day, but the loafers. John wore loafers. They think that how often would you come across someone that's homeless or something wearing loafers? And that he was well-spoken and he was educated. At that point, that last credible sighting, that is the last that we know of credible sightings or what happened to John. Now, going back a little bit, obviously when they looked at the car, they confirmed it to be John's car. There had been no sign of struggle. His parents even looked at the car. They were like, there's nothing out of place. There's nothing that indicates that John was in a specific mental state when he left his car. Nothing memorable out of place. That leaves us with nearly nothing to explain what happened to John. There are a couple of theories. I actually don't know if there's theories running rampant on the Reddit, but I will tell you that there are a couple and we can talk about them.
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
We got a really nice emailer.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A review, but at the end of it, they were like, can you please stop calling it the Reddit?
All right, I'll just start saying the Google.
Right, that's what I say, like as a joke. And I just thought it was funny that you said the Reddit right after I just read that email.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to, I mean, that's how we say it.
We literally know that it's called Google and Reddit. We just make right. up things because
exactly.
we make up things.
And because we're old and not hip.
I think that's essentially where the joke comes from, right?
Yes, the Google. Yes.
Yeah, the old internet. So.
Okay. Either way, I just thought it was funny.
It is funny. Thank you for the kind email. We respect and take your feedback, but we'll likely probably call it the Reddit forever and ever.
Forever. Yes. All right. So, by the way, I don't like any of this. Just so we know where we're starting.
I agree with you. I dislike when there is no evidence whatsoever. There's like, oh, but the cell phone, I know, it's 1993, but for example's sake, oh, the cell phone's missing. What could that mean? Or the wallet's missing, but everything else is here. Nope, there's nothing like that here.
Okay, so the theories are, and correct me if I'm wrong, he left his life.
Sure.
He died by suicide.
Sure.
Or foul play. Right? Like, those are the three main categories.
Yeah, and it's not really random foul play. It's, hey, what did this have anything to do with the massive amount of money that was going to be paid out to John? Does it have to do with these deals that were happening? This company is about to go public. So that's kind of the foul play piece.
Right, but, like, here's the thing. If you're gonna, let's say, murder someone for what potentially might be money, right?
Right.
You gotta wait till they have it, because he's not gonna get it if he's dead.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, if there was someone somewhere that is promising money to someone and they can't follow through with it, and it could, I don't know, collapse a whole company or make someone stand out to, like, the FBI or some higher power, then sure, you would want to silence them. I don't know that that's what happened, and there's no indication, right? So if this company is searching for investors and investors are saying, hey, we're in, we're going to back you, that doesn't really indicate to me that they're not going to be able to follow through on the payment of a sum of money.
Right. And this is business. It's not just, I don't know. It's not like he's asking Joe Schmo down the street to invest. He's asking, like, businesses and banks and, do you know what I mean?
Right. He's traveling, meeting with boatloads of people. I mean, this isn't a couple of months of travel. This is a year going all over the place looking for people to back this company.
Okay, so the logic behind dying by suicide, I assume has to do with the stress of all that he's going through.
Yes. Pretty much absolutely. So his family, from what I understand, states that there is no history of mental illness to their knowledge. Friends agree, I guess. So if we were to entertain that, if family and friends have entertained it at all, for lack of better words, it has been that the insane amount of pressure, stress from this job, would have been the contributing factor here.
Now, was he cleared before or after his his disappearance?
My understanding is before.
Okay.
But he had not actually obtained the sum of money that he was expected to receive.
Right, but that's business. Like, that can come later.
I should add one additional thing. When his car was found and the police assumed, hey, he's parked right by the Mississippi River by a bridge, he likely jumped. I do want to state that the river was extensively searched and the banks of the river were extensively searched and nothing was found. So this case reminded me of Yelena Carisi, which we did quite some time ago. And if you remember, she was visiting the Louisiana area, the New Orleans area. Granted, totally different spot. However, the Mississippi River is not a stream, okay? Google that. Google pictures. It is a pretty fast-moving body of water. And like John, the river was extensively searched and nothing turned up there either. I'd be very curious, and I almost wish I did do this, look up cases where someone is confirmed to have jumped into the river and how many people have been recovered after that.
Yes, I agree with that. Ugh. I just don't understand how he goes through a year of work and then just gives up like that.
Right. This guy is no stranger to pressure and stress. He goes to high school. I assume he does. He excels academically. He gets into a good school. He excels there under tons of pressure. And then I know people that have gone for their MBA, and I don't think the 20 to 35 year difference would change anything about the extensive pressure of getting that particular degree. Yes, I get it. This guy is building something from nothing, and that is a different kind of pressure than grad school. At the same time, he's not a stranger to this. So if this was enough to break him, what does that look like? Was it, I'm knowingly leaving my life behind? Or is this like a mental break where he loses his memory or something?
So that's actually listed on the, obviously I pulled up the Cheller Project, and there's speculation that, like, he had a mental break. He doesn't know who he is anymore, I guess.
Right. And at this point, you're assuming 35 years later, that is the case as well.
So everything inside of me wants to say absolutely not. But I believe that's what happened to Rice Laspisa. So in order for me to say I believe that's what happened to Bryce,
yes,
I can't just discard that as not likely.
Yes, and then someone like Yelena, I believe, probably ended up, unfortunately, dying in the Mississippi River. You know what's striking to me here is, and I think this happened with Yelena too, it's written, the river was extensively searched. And that is it. That is, we've searched every nook and cranny, and there's no chance this person ended up there. I just don't understand how that can be said with certainty.
So I guess we're no closer to ruling anything out, because I think that it is more likely that he had a mental break than he died by suicide.
Really? I actually completely disagree.
Okay. Well, talk to me.
I just see this guy as being able to handle a lot of stress. And at the end of the day, he wasn't still being investigated, from my understanding. So, you know, he's found to be cleared. Deals are closing. Things are looking good. The stress from all of that is letting up on him. So he's in a better spot. So I don't know that he would necessarily break. Now, when it comes to him, you know, and his mental health, he quite plausibly could have been like, wow, I went through all this. You know, winning is great, but this doesn't fulfill me. And this is an empty feeling. This is awful. Does that make sense? Like, I don't see the stress at this point being enough to break him, but I certainly see him not feeling fulfilled and feeling very empty after all of the success that he's had.
All right. So let's put those two for the side for a second, because we're on different pages. What are your thoughts of foul play?
Once in a blue moon, you'll say something along the lines of, you know, this, the media has really wants this or is making it sound very salacious. And people become very interested in, like, very drama-filled stories. And I think this is one of those where there's a big corporation, there's money involved. Something must have happened in relation to that. And I just don't see it here.
So I actually go the complete other way.
No.
Wait, hold on. But not...
Okay.
I don't think there's foul play regarding to business. I think if there's foul play, it has to do with literally a crime of opportunity. He was dropped off at his car late at night, was probably exhausted and not paying attention to his surroundings. And something could have happened to him there.
And then they, because it was an opportunity, they decided, hey, let's just get in his car and go park it somewhere.
Or let's get in his car to dispose the body.
I mean, maybe.
And
but...
Amy, we're in the 90s, right? Like, tracking wasn't what it is now. If you move someone's car, good luck.
I don't know. Maybe. I see it more as, he was intoxicated and probably feeling unfulfilled. Maybe he even went to go look at the river or something. He could have accidentally fallen in. I guess we didn't consider that either.
And he could have gotten abducted by aliens. Okay, so like, let's try to talk about what may be likely more than others. Because I feel like all we're doing is adding theories when we're trying to narrow them down. But you're right. An accidental fall would be possible. Totally possible. And I think, ready, Amy? I think that's more likely than dying by suicide.
Why?
I just don't think that he was in a position to take his own life. I think he was on top of the world.
Do you think he went home after that dinner?
No.
Okay, so when he left at whatever point, he just accidentally forgot to close the garage door.
Yes.
Okay. So he's on top of the world.
I mean, I just think that, like, he's making moves business-wise. He's young. He's got his life ahead of him. And I just don't see that, like, one setback would be the end.
Well, when you put it like that, I can agree. But people don't die by suicide because of just setbacks, right? They die for numerous reasons, and sometimes I think that it's after what we would all perceive as wonderful life events, and they realize how alone and empty that even those things make them feel.
I'm not discarding what you're saying, because you're absolutely right. I just don't see that here.
Okay. All right. So then it's really for you, random foul play, or?
If I have to put them in order of most likely, I'm going to say random foul play, a mental break, / accidental falling in the river, then suicide.
At the top of your list is random foul play like that?
Yeah, think about it. He's leaving a restaurant intoxicated, probably exhausted, disoriented. He is literally the target for a crime of opportunity.
I guess, but wouldn't you just rob someone? Why are you going to kill him?
What if they fight back? What if they do lots of things? Why do you got to rob someone?
No, you're right.
The one thing that, like, I think that I struggle with is, and this is in general, right? Like, this is for true crime across the board. I try to rationalize, I think we both do, behavior that isn't rational.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a hiccup, too. Like you just said, why just not just rob him? Why kill him? Well, to get to a mental place where robbing someone is acceptable is a leap for us.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to put ourselves in that kind of a mindset is hard. I have no idea why not just rob someone. You know, people kill for less. People kill for no reason at all.
No, you're right. You're right. And I'm sorry, what was your second leading theory?
Some sort of mental something, not to the point of suicide, but like maybe he went for a drive, like you said, to see the river. Like, in this case, I don't think he's still out there living and not knowing who he is. In this case, I think it's totally possible because I think it's what happened to Bryce LaPisa.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, I think it's what happened to Hannah Up.
Mm. Right.
But in this case, it's not what I think happened.
I hear what you're saying. And again, you know, like I'm not in complete opposition to what you're saying. I guess I just think that it might be just very simple and that he is feeling empty and alone and unfulfilled by these big, wonderful things happening and quite likely died by suicide. And he just wasn't found.
Okay, so we're going to disagree.
Yeah.
I do think that he is deceased at this point.
I would agree with that as well.
And I hate this case. Because I could easily be convinced by any of the theories.
I guess that's true as well. Yeah.
You know, like, give me one more piece of information and I'm like, oh, yep.
Right. I mean, I'll agree with that. If his parents were in his 50s in 1993, I mean, they're really so sadly, and not disrespectfully, if they're still alive, they're 80s, the very end of their life, wondering what happened to their son. So, of course, pass this along and tell us your thoughts and tell us, you know, everything that you think. Do you agree with Melissa? Do you agree with me? Not a competition, just a difference of theories and opinion. But what do you think?
Yeah. Please share your thoughts with us.
All right. So we will see you in 2 weeks because you're going to go enjoy the 4th and do your picnic thing, right, everyone? Just like we will. And we'll see you with an all new case. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.